Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 16th day of July, year 2023. I'm your host, Pastor Dan, and today's topic is They Are All Actors. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumriambeth. Our website is www.PastorDan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, and again, it's .net. And we draw your attention to the Daily Mail page, where we put current event information, also health and tips are there, even sometimes stuff about home defense and gardening, things such as that nature. There's a home page, which is the first page. Some general information and also information there if you feel like making a donation. And for the folks that do, we thank you and Yahweh bless your hearts. There is a contact us page also for anybody that does not have my personal contact information. You can go to the contact us page, type out a message, and I will receive it. Some adages here we like to talk about. Do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. We got an awful lot of people that just sort of kick back and don't even want to do anything because, well, they're afraid to try. Life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. A lot of our people seem to have forgotten that as well. Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality, otherwise known as Mystery Babylon. To change something, build a new model, also known as living under God's law, that makes the existing model obsolete. A lot of our people don't seem to get it. You know, we hear all these people think that the solution is to vote a different candidate in or continue with this mockery of justice. For every 1,000 talking like that, as Henry David Thoreau is talking about the root of the problem, which is that we should be living under God's law, not man's law. Seems pretty simple to me. Mr. Fuller also said, when individuals join in a cooperative venture, the power generated far exceeds what they could have accomplished acting individually. In other words, as Scripture says, when we come together in one accord, meaning in agreement with each other, we're invincible. And that's why the enemy spends so much time dividing us. They constantly put out the false narratives, etc., to get us to fight with each other, bicker, stab each other in the back, get angry with each other, you name it. And our people are all too willing to go along with that agenda. It's really quite a shame. Revelation 18:4, and another voice from heaven came to my ears, saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins and in her punishments. This is referring to, again, Mystery Babylon. Come out of the system. Come out of this beast system as best you can. 2 Chronicles 7:14, also another one that's used quite a bit. If my people, on whom my name is named, make themselves low or humble, and come to me in prayer, searching for me and my wisdom and law, and turning from their evil ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their sin, which is transgression of his law, and will give life again to their land. the modern day world, they want sin, you to think sin is any negative thought that you have in your head or whatever, which is ludicrous because our brains are constantly thinking things we probably shouldn't be thinking. Sin is transgression of his law, the same law that the modern day church world tells you has been done away with. Ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous. For instance, the food laws. You think the food has changed between now and over 2,000 years ago? Nope, food, except that they poisoned a lot of it, but as Yahweh made the food? No, absolutely not. So if food was bad for our systems back then, what makes people think it's clean now? Or as Pete Peters used to say, how did Yeshua dying on a cross make a pig clean? Someone needs to explain that to me. Who said, for my people are foolish, they do not know me, and they have no understanding. They are skillful in doing evil, but they do not know how to do good. That's the zombies out here. If you're not led by Yahweh's Spirit, then it's quite impossible for you to do much good. Been watching an awful lot of videos and other information being sent to me by a lot of people. It's amazing that since this radio show started almost 24 years ago, how large the number of people that I'm in contact with has grown. We got a virtual army now that stretches across this world. And these people are feeding me information constantly. So some of it I find on my own, but a lot of times I'm just sort of the nexus that gets fed all this information by many other hard workers in the body of Yahshua that are out there digging and searching, or they come across things and they send it my way, whether it's a health tip or something about a new weapon, ammunition, new building materials for homes, things such as that. And again, little by little, bit by bit, line upon line, precept upon precept, we start putting together the pieces on how to build a better world. And now some of the platforms are following the example of the identity people who have been on this program and many others that have been saying, you know, we need to get back to living under God's law. And now a lot of platforms are saying the exact same thing. We need to homestead. We need to come out of the cities. We need to have our families close together again, like-minded people working together at a community level, mimicking the Amish in many ways. So that has picked up steam. There's an effort here in Central Florida that I'm aware of, and I've been told that there are other developments in other parts of Florida as well. Other states are doing it, but I'm not that familiar with them. I'm just told that that's been going on like up in the Ozark Mountains and different places like that. The people at the gut level can tell something is terribly, terribly wrong in this world. Things are not going well, and that's one reason I picked the title of They're All Actors. Everything that we're seeing on the image of the beast, the image controlled by the beast. And by the way, I looked it up in the book of Revelation in the Greek language. When it talks about the image, it uses the Greek word icon, which is where we get the word icon. Okay, so an icon is a representation. It could be, but it also could be the images flickering across your flat screens. Okay, they're icons of the beast. Now, the beast is Therion, and Therion is their word for a wild beast. Typically venomous. Now, venomous. Okay, what is the Latin word for venom? Virus. Okay, so what is the beast using? Venom, snake venom. They call it a virus or a vaccine, but they're using venom. So it's representative of a wild beast, venomous wild beast, but metaphorically, it's also used for a brutal, bestial, savage, and ferocious man. Do we have men who are acting that way? Brutal, bestial, savage, and ferocious? Yeah, they're all over us. They're like locusts eating away our sustenance. Oh, where have I heard that before? Oh, that's right. Prophets in the scripture. Okay? They have come in like locusts and eating the sustenance of our lands. And where's our leaders? Where are our military and civic leaders at this time for our people? Well, leaders are there, but the people aren't crying out for leaders coming out of that group. They're crying for politicians to save them. They're crying for police officers to save them. They're crying out for government agencies, etc., or religious organizations, which are all run by pedophiles. So they want all these heathens to save them when they're not looking to our Father in heaven and his people. Okay, your leadership has to come out of the elders who belong to our Father Yahweh. And it's amazing to me that our people haven't figured that out yet. I just shake my head most days. How is it that our people don't see it? How can you not see it? Okay, these actors, we call them bad actors, because that's exactly what they are. Now, remember, the word actor is what we use in English, but in the days of the ancient Greeks, they used the word Hippocrates. And Hippocrates is where we get the word hypocrite. So it's synonymous when you're talking about an actor and a hypocrite. They're the same. Think about it. People who pretend to be something they are not. Like most of your preachers today, pretending to be men and sometimes women, which is an abomination. But men of God, when in fact they are opportunists and they're just pretending to be men of God. They are hypocrites, actors, politicians claiming that they're doing what they do for the good of the people. Actors, hypocrites, and pretty much anybody of the religion of Judaism is an actor because they hate everybody. Oh, Dan, you can't say that. Well, I didn't say that. The Talmud says that. That's their holy book. The rabbis say that. And many Jews, when they're on camera, will say the same thing. So it's not me saying it. It's words from their own mouth. It's words from their own holy book called the Talmud. We're just so much cattle out there, animals, to be treated like animals. That's why they have no respect for us. That's why it doesn't bother them to put poisons in our body to feed us food that's contaminated, because we are nothing to them. We are mere animals in a pasture field, resources. Who do you think came up with the term human resource? Did you ever think about that? Who came up with the term law enforcement when we used to call them police officers or even peace officers? When they were our people and they had discretion and they were usually men from our own communities, they were peace officers. So if you were not disturbing the peace, they had no business messing with you. But they changed it to law enforcement because who took over the law industry? Yeah, the same little termites that wear the little beanies. They knew that. So once they took over the law, now they had to get the guys with the badges and the guns to think that their job is to enforce whatever these beanie wearers come up with in, quote, legislative bodies. Do you see how it all works together? And it's all for their benefit. Not ours. And yet Yahweh's people, there's a way out of it, but Yahweh's people just don't seem to see it. They're still clamoring around like we owe them our obedience. Since when? The Bible doesn't tell you to obey these people. Common sense doesn't say to obey these people. Your survival instinct doesn't say to obey these people. Just the opposite. So where is the strong delusion coming from that makes people think government is God? It's because these people don't have any faith anymore. They don't believe in the truth anymore. They want lies. They want handouts. They want false pats on the back, like, you're a good little boy or girl. Virtue signaling, so to speak. Okay? So, again, Yahweh's asking, when are our people going to wake up? When are they going to turn away from this system and start calling out for his justice? If you notice, there is no real justice at all in this world. You got innocent people being put upon. Their jobs are being sent overseas. They got aliens invading our lands. Our borders are wide open. Our industries are being shut down. We are reliant on foreign materials and resources and products coming in because we don't make anything here anymore. That's been going on for decades. And when guys like me stood up to my fellow white men and women and said, where's the sanity in what we're doing? Especially giving all this money and resources and technology to China. What the hell's wrong with you people? And yet they called me a fool. What are you worried about, Dan? That'll never happen here. This is America. That can't happen here. Well, take a look around you. Tell me it can't happen here. China's great today, not because the Chinese are better at anything than we are. Absolutely not. We sent our industry and technology and inventions to the Chinese because they were stolen from the patent office, especially under Clinton, that piece of shit. And they were given to the Chinese. Well, if you're given all kinds of money and blueprints and designs free of charge, it's pretty hard not to become successful. Okay? They're being set up to be the repository of our brain power, so to speak, our inventions, and the Chinese people as a whole are very pliable, especially after Mao Zedong eliminated those with the courage to speak up against tyranny. By the tens and tens and tens of millions of people murdered by that piece of shit that ever existed. All right, another communist Jew, just like Stalin did to the Russian people to get them to acquiesce to the tyranny there. They took the bravest of them, including the Cossacks and the brave Polish officers, and murdered them in mass killings in the woods and forests, such as Katyn Forest in Poland. And they blamed it on the Germans, of course, when it was the Jewish Bolsheviks behind it all. This has been going on for a long time, and it's about ready to happen here in the United States. And in some ways, it's already started. They just use slightly different tactics because some people are actually waking up, believe it or not. So they changed their tactics. Now they try to get race wars to eliminate us and bringing in massive non-white immigration with young men of fighting age so that they can disrupt our society. So their tactics have changed a little bit. And also because Americans are a little bit on the wild side, and at the moment we still have a lot of weapons. Our Russian cousins were disarmed. The Chinese were disarmed. And so when the despots came in and murdered them by the tens of millions, they didn't have much of a chance to fight back. Plus, communications at the moment are much better today. We're able to communicate what the enemy's doing, at least for the moment. Praise Yahweh that we have been able to keep this line of communication going on, because the enemy obviously does not want us to do it. So, but they're getting close to the end of this thing, folks. So the choice is ours. Do we acquiesce? Do we give in to these tyrants and watch them do to our children and grandchildren what they've done to these probably several hundred million innocent souls in these communist-led rebellions and takeovers? Do we allow them to do that? Well, our Heavenly Father is going to allow it to happen if we keep acquiescing, if we keep sitting on our asses and not getting together. You know, again, what's a white man doing? He's finding every reason not to unite. We'll send money to these charlatans and quacks behind pulpits by the tens of millions of dollars. We'll support politicians by the tens of millions of dollars. And yet for white men and women that are fighting to save our race, they got to scratch a living out. Our people are amazing. It has stupefied me for many years at the behavior of our people. At times, it causes me to wonder if the Father's even going to allow us to survive. Do we deserve to survive? That's the big question. Do we? With the way we behave, do we deserve to go on in history? What's it take to wake up white people? I don't get it. Or have they literally bred the bravest of us out by getting our women to sleep with degenerates and wussies and killing the best of our men on battlefields? Have they actually succeeded to where there's almost none of them left? Maybe that's the problem. There's a good book on that, by the way. It's called War and the Breed. It was written in the early 1900s. So that was over 100 years ago, and it used to be required reading in our war college for all men that were going to become officers. They had to read the book, War and the Breed. And it discusses how war wipes out the best of a race. Because your best, your bravest, your brightest warriors are on the battlefield dying. They're the ones that should be breeding the next generation, not the wussies and wankers that are sitting at the office back in Washington and other places in the country while the warriors are out fighting. Now, granted, the wars that they died in should not have been fought for the Jew. However, the fact that our men did willingly go there and die for these monsters does not change the fact that some of the best and brightest of our race have already perished. And you take a look at the zombies that walk around us and you wonder if their program wasn't successful. Me, personally, I think there's still quite a few warriors left out there. What they're waiting for is, I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's the restrainer that is mentioned in Scripture, that Yahweh would hold us down by an invisible restrainer, because he's not quite ready for the warriors to do what warriors have to do. Because remember, he's in charge of this whole thing, folks. Believe it or not, our Father's in charge. And he puts the enemy at our throat because of our disobedience. Once we figure that out and our people start to repent and return to him and praise him and worship him and not little g god governments and institutions and corporations and celebrities, we've made them idols, so we are idol worshipers. If we return to him, he will let loose the warriors. And I've been honored to meet many of these warriors in my many years of traveling. And they are phenomenal people, the people that I have met. They are truly warriors ready to go. And when I spoke to them over the past several decades, many of them did say that they felt like there was a force, an invisible force that was holding them down. Maybe if we were to pray, turn from our wicked ways, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, maybe if we were to pray and ask for forgiveness and turn from our wicked ways, and stop worshiping this beast, this image, this icon that flickers on the screens in front of us to where we think we need to fear these people. Maybe if we turn from that, he'll give our warriors the green light that we've all been wanting. And then this poor world will be cleansed. Mark my words, it will be cleansed, as Malachi chapter 4 very clearly states. All those who do wickedly on this earth will be cleansed. And that goes for human and non-human. Anything that pollutes his world, anything that pollutes his law, will be destroyed. Now, when you take the cancer of all of this anti-white, anti-Yahweh stuff that's going on, once you have eliminated all that, this world will almost automatically turn back into a paradise at that moment. This world is struggling to survive right now in its true state, and glory be to our Creator that our bodies and our people and our lands have resisted the wiles of these devils up to this point. Now, the church world wants you to fear a entity called Satan or the devil as a spiritual entity, when actually your devils walk in shoe leather. Your adversaries speak words and walk in shoe leather. Now, they have the spirit of an antichrist within them, but your adversaries are numerous. You don't need to be looking for somebody with a red suit on with a tail and horns and a pitchfork. That's not who you need to worry about. You need to worry about those adversaries that walk amongst you. Sometimes adversaries in your own household. Did he not say he would turn mother against children, children against mother, sons against fathers, fathers against son? I'll bring a sword. Isn't that what he said? That's what's happening. Take a look around you. I'm on the phone constantly with members of our community that are going through these very things right now. Separating families, separating coworkers, separating friends that you've had for decades in some cases. And now won't even say hello to you. Why? Because he is separating the wheat from the chaff, folks. You're living it right now. Signs at the end of this age. Wheat and the chaff being separated. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for Yahweh God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You know, when we start emulating our Creator, wondrous things start happening. But our people, they still want to cling to the fleshly things. They still want to believe there's some way that this, quote, system can be saved. I got news for you. That's not going to happen. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So does our Heavenly Father strengthen you, or does the spirit of Antichrist strengthen you? For you guys out there with big old fat banking accounts, holdings in stocks and things like that, is that what strengthens you? Or does our Heavenly Father strengthen you? I've met a lot of you. You put your faith and all of your, quote, security in your wealth. We'll see how that works out for you here in the very near future, as the Antichrist Jew is stripping it away from you. Many of you don't even know it. Philippians chapter 4, starting at 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to Yahweh God. And the peace of our Father, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Yahshua HaMashiach. Finally, brothers, and here we have the Greek word adelphos, meaning brothers of the same womb, fellow white men. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, why do you think that in Philippians chapter 4? Why would he say that? Think on these things, that long list of things that we just talked about. Because as you think, so you are. Have you ever heard that old adage? As you think, so you are. Our people, because they watch these flickering images controlled by our beasts, these venomous wild creatures, they're so concerned over these images, these icons, or in the Greek, icons, so concerned over it that they live in a state of fear and anxiety and stress, which is exactly what our enemy wants. Whereas our Father told us through the Scriptures and through the Holy Spirit, don't pay attention to what your enemy is telling you. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. Think about the things that we just read in that Scripture. Those are the things that should occupy your mind, because if you occupy your brain with those things, your mind, your thoughts, there's no room for what the enemy wants to do to you. It's much like when I was going to school to be a naturopathic practitioner. Okay? In naturopathy, they would teach us that if you are eating the right foods, organic, non-GMO, etc., non-hybrid, heirloom, if you're eating the right things in the right amounts, you don't have much room left for the junk food. First of all, your appetite is going to go next to zero because your body is satisfied. The quantity is going to be a lot less. So the enemy's foods don't appeal to you because you filled yourself full of righteous, good food. You see? The mind is the same thing. If you fill it full of righteous thoughts, pure thoughts, happy thoughts, high of a frequency vibration, there's no room for what the enemy's doing. And if you really want to piss off the enemy, become more godlike. Become more like our Father and Creator. Because the more you do that, the more he loses, the more he sees that all of that money and effort that he's been putting to destroy our people isn't working. Which will mean that he'll become even more insane and do more outlandish things, which will in turn wake up more people. Hallelujah. See, they've lost their minds. Just like the Scripture says that their hubris, their vanity, would be part of their The Jew thinks that he's already won this thing because of their absolutely astronomical wealth, even though it's in fictitious digits in a computer. But at the moment, people will still sell out their souls, sell out their businesses for these fictitious digits. And so the Jew has financial power until people become, quote, righteous again, to where they'll do the right thing regardless of how many electronic digits they're offered. Now, we got a ways to go, obviously, because there's a lot of people selling themselves out here, worshiping the Jew and the Jew, quote, dollar or digit. They haven't figured out yet that are being bought and sold without a price. Where have we heard that before? Well, that's right. It's in Scripture. The first time you were sold into Egypt into slavery for actual money, just like Judas was given actual money to betray Yeshua. You have been sold out. You are selling yourself out without a price, Scripture says. That's another way of saying you're selling yourself out for something that no value. If the internet and computers went poof, gone tomorrow, you would be holding absolutely nothing. That's how precarious the wealth of these misfits that walk amongst us that worship money, worship material goods. They're in a very precarious place. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, that's somewhat conditional, because for him to be our Elohim God, we have to, one, believe in him and fear him or revere him. James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to Yahweh God, resist diabolos, and he will flee from you. Now this says devil, but that the devil is not a supernatural being, so to speak. It just simply means resist the diabolos, which in the Greek represents your adversary. Your adversary comes in many forms, folks. Many forms. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Okay? Yahweh is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. That's if you choose to. Okay? Free choice, right? Free will. If you choose to escape the, quote, temptation. A lot of our people choose that they want the temptation. They want to go with it. Again, worshiping the Antichrist. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. His peace, which is true peace, as in security, comfort, high frequency, positive attitude. Remember, attitude's everything, folks. Many of you on this forum, you know that. We've been talking about that for a very long time. And in my lifetime, attitude amongst my children and grandchildren and even my siblings, attitude was everything. You come at me with a bad attitude, we're going to have trouble. I don't care who you are. You better have the right attitude. And I'm sure the Father feels exactly the same way. Psalm 27, verse 1. Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Again, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. What is light representative of? Truth. His consciousness. That's light. Knowledge versus ignorance. Common sense versus narcissistic vanity. Okay? My light and my salvation. Now, not the salvation taught in the mainstream churches. That's ludicrous. That's just smoke and mirrors to make money and control people. Salvation comes from the words both in Hebrew and in the Greek, meaning to be saved from danger or harm in this world at this time. Not a spiritual thing at all. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, Father Yahweh, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He is a shepherd. He is a shepherd for all of us. Some of us have a hard time believing that, but it's true. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is Yahweh your Elohim God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Now, the enemy, of course, wants you to think just the opposite. He wants to think you're going to be out there in that battlefield all alone, like David. But you know what? David was triumphant, wasn't he? Last time I read the book, yeah, it seems to me David did quite well, actually. I'm sure he was fearful. I'm sure he had some trepidation going out there against this big old guy. But he prevailed. Just as we, who are smaller in number, who don't have all those electronic digits, and yet we can go out onto that battlefield and listen. Because that's what King David did, as he was praying that he was going to do battle in the name of Yahweh, because this monster desecrated and denigrated the name of our Creator, just like we should be doing right now to those who denigrate our Heavenly Father. We should be out there picking up stones out of the creek bed ourselves and praying, help me send this stone against this monster such that it hits a weak spot and brings him to his knees. These kikes, these Jews, these monsters, these communists have weak spots. They can be brought to their knees. They don't want you to know that, but it's true. James chapter 1, starting at verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Whoa, wait a minute. What? Be doers of the word and not hearers. Well, what's that saying to the churchgoers out there, the pew setters? And I was out there amongst them for a long time. Not in recent history, but many years ago, I was out there with them, so I know what they're like. The pew setters think they're doing great because they're sitting there and they hear the word, but then they leave church and don't do the word. We got a nation, we got a world full of white people that fall into that category. Well, they hear the word, they just don't seem to want to be doing it, and thus they, what? Deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. What's that saying there? Because like the people sitting in the pews at the church, they're looking in the mirror and they see an image. While they sit there, they see an image of this righteous individual who loves Yahweh, loves the word, etc. But then when he walks away, the image is gone. So the person walking out of the church is just like the man leaving the mirror. The image that was created while they're listening to Yahweh's word and singing hymns of praise and congratulating neighbors and smiling, as soon as he walks out the door and gets in his car, the image is gone. Hearers only and not doers. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, whoa, liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Doesn't say he'll be blessed in his hearing. He will be blessed in his doing. Now, I don't have enough time to go through my entire lifetime of proof of that verse, just in my own life's experience. It's in the doing that you're blessed, folks. And again, I could take the next hour and a half and talk about the litany of blessings that I've been given trying to do his work upon this earth. And yet, we got people out there, why isn't Yahweh blessing me? Well, you might want to go back and read James chapter 1. Ephesians 5, verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. I wonder how many in the medical mafia have read that verse. I wonder how many in the law profession, how many lawyers, judges, etc., have read that verse. They don't seem to expose much anymore, do you? When's the last time you heard somebody in the law profession expose the criminality of the justice, or I should say injustice system we have? How many in the medical mafia have exposed the lies and deceptions of this whole COVID scam-demic? I mean, really, at this point, after 3.5 years, if you haven't figured out it was a scam from day one, you're an idiot. You truly are dumber than a box of rocks. I don't care how many letters come after your name. If you haven't figured it out by now, then you must have a whole lot of those Jewish electronic shekels in your pocket, because that's the only reason you'd be quiet at this point. You've been bought and paid for. You, in effect, are a whore. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, and give no opportunity to the diablos, adversary. Give no opportunity to your adversaries. Keep them far from you. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of Yahweh God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What? Holy, which means separated to Yahweh, and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Does that mean I'm sacrificing it when I go down and ply it with all kinds of booze and drugs and recreational drugs or pharmaceuticals from the doctor? Is that sacrificing my body and presenting it to my Father wholly? Or when I allow things in through my eyes and ears that are not fit, that are unholy? Something to think about. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How about that? The renewal of your mind. Yeah, when you give up on the world and these flickering images that are controlled by your beast system and bestial men, you have a renewal of the mind, and you can find out that you can think again. And once you can critically think, now you can get to that part of the verse where it says that by testing you may discern the will of our Father. Discernment doesn't say you're going to read it somewhere, does it? Does it? Does it say you're going to read? Or does it say that you'll be able to discern because of the renewal of your mind? The renewal of your mind does not require anything in writing. if you think about it, Yahshua carried no pen and paper, no quill and scroll when he taught. As far as I know, neither did the disciples. The spoken word, logos in the Greek, logos, same word we get logic from. Matthew 6, verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, focus on the here and now, not what's in the past and not what's down the road. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Waste your time worrying about those things. Focus on the here and now. What can you do today with your tools that Yahweh gave you at birth, and what doors he has opened for you? What can you do today? Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5, trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Okay? Don't lean on your own consciousness, your own misgivings, your own misinterpretations. You don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him, he who walks with us in the here and now, he who talks with us in real by his Holy Spirit. Again, the enemy doesn't want you to think like that. They want you to be, quote, religious. And if you look up the etymology of that word, by the way, it's very similar to government. Words that came down with the idea of controlling you by rigid laws and dogma. All of it to enrich the people at the top who are pulling the strings on whatever institution you want to talk about. Psalm 94, verse 19, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Again, our Father is everything to us, right? Psalm 56, verse 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, meaning Yahweh our Father. Doesn't say into institutions, money, material, even neighbors, family. Doesn't say that. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am Elohim God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Be still. What do you think he means by that? Be still. It means don't be all jumping around, jittery, worrying about everything. Be still. Be calm. Be quiet. Level-headed. Inside voice. Not running around like a maniac. Joshua 1:9, one of my favorites. In fact, I have a t-shirt with that on it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Memorize it. Your Elohim God, Yahweh, is with you wherever you go. Jude chapter 1, verse 2. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Absolutely, brothers and sisters. We are not the losers in this game. We are the victorious ones, the overcomers. We are the ones that drive the Jews crazy. They just don't get it. They're supposed to be afraid. They're supposed to run down here and bow the knee to us. They're supposed to beg us for our electronic shekels. They're supposed to turn their back on this Elohim God. We are the new gods of this world. We are the masters of this world. Why is it these people don't get it? You want to drive your enemy crazy? love Yahweh and behave the way he says to behave. That'll drive him crazy. 3 John chapter 1, verse 11, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from Yahweh God. Whoever does evil has not seen or recognized Yahweh God. Everybody's got a choice to make. Good or evil, everybody has a choice. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets. Yeah, pseudo in the Greek. Pseudo prophetes, false prophets. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. So on the outside, they look like us, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Yeah, they're all over the place, especially on Sunday mornings, all over the television networks. You can see lots of these false prophets. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from Yahweh God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Test the spirits. Matthew 24, verse 24. For the false Christs and false prophets, meaning false messiahs, will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Great signs and wonders. What might that be? Might it be these gigantic cathedrals? How about some of these other gigantic architectural things that are being put up by the beast system? Could they be some of the signs and wonders? How about the clown in the crystal cathedral? Many others. Signs and wonders to lead astray. Oh, look at the halftime show when all of the perverts get out there on the football field and pretend that they're actually competing with one another. All of them are contracted as entertainers, by the way. They're paid millions and millions of dollars to put on a show. Just like I said, they're all actors. If they're on a flickering screen, they are an actor, a deceiver, a hypocrite. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but false prophets also arose amongst the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Well, I'm sure some of these false teachers that are bringing in heresies are probably laying in hospital beds right now. Some of them may have been even killed. Because after all, when you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. When you lay down with Jews, you become a liability. If they think at any time you might reveal what they're doing, you become a liability. And what do they do with liabilities? They eliminate them. It doesn't matter what position in their fake government you might hold or how many of those electronic shekels you have in a so-called bank account. They'll get rid of you without even blinking an eye. Matthew 24, verse 11, and many false prophets will rise and lead many astray. Yeah, churches are full of them. Roman Catholic Church at the top of the list, full of people being led astray. It just shows the ignorance level we've got today. How could you not know the Catholic Church is just full of hypocrisy? Nothing Christ-like about them at all. How can you go to those? I don't get, some people say, well, you know, there are good Catholics out there. Well, if they're good, what the hell are they doing in the Catholic Church? I don't get it. What are you lifting up the institution? That's like telling me there's good people in the FBI, the CIA, or the IRS. Really? How do they sleep at night? Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Wow. What does that name our people today, or what? They do not endure sound teaching, but they've got itching ears. Ooh, yeah. I want teachers to suit my passions. I want to listen to preachers that preach that smooth-sounding stuff that makes me feel good. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. Whether it's literal or figurative. Amen to that. It's a crazy world, folks. It's a crazy world. The main thing is that there is strength in our unifying. There's strength in our networking with one another, our fellowship. That is what discipleship is really all about, as spoken of in the Word. And that's where we get our strength, not only in our walk with our Father. Obviously, that is the greatest source of strength, but it's also in the communication and walking together as family here on this earth. We're here for a short time, and we're here for a purpose. And part of the purpose is to reach out and work together, okay? And no, we're not going to agree on everything, folks. We're not. Get over it. Okay? I can't think of a single soul walking this earth that I agree with 100% of the time. Not one soul. I don't see anywhere in Scripture it says we're going to agree on everything at all times. I don't see anything here that says that. What we have to agree is, who are we? Why are we here? Are we family? If it wasn't true that we'll have disagreements, then why are there rules on how to settle our disagreements, such as go to your brother and talk out the matter first, and if that doesn't resolve it, then you bring in the elders. If that doesn't resolve it, then you go to the judges, which are the top-level elders of our community. Okay? So it has a way to handle disputes, because we're going to have disputes. Just like they say there is no divorce. Excuse me? There sure as hell is. Why would he give us rules for about divorce if there was no divorce? There is divorce. There are reasons for divorce. Now, true, we should have much better discernment in who we choose to be mates. We don't have much of that anymore. We just let our emotions take care of that, and that's why we're in trouble. But for these quacks and charlatans and say there is no divorce, well, I got news for you. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Same thing with the idea of the multiple wives, the idea of circumcision. Okay? I got into a very heated debate with a group of so-called believers on a platform recently, trying to tell me that circumcision is still prevalent for us because it's a sign that we belong to the Father. I got news for you. It's mutilation. I don't give a crap what anybody says. You are mutilating that boy child. It is forbidden. And if you think mutilating his creation makes you closer to him, you're an idiot. Okay? Can we say it any plainer than that? Well, Dan, it's in the Bible. The word circumcision's in the Bible, but the last time I checked, the Bibles weren't written in English. Last time I checked, they weren't written even a decade ago. They were written over 2,000 years, and in some cases over 4 and 5,000 years ago in the original. And yet you're going to mutilate your child because your English Bible has the word circumcision in it. And because the medical mafia performs the procedure and they call it circumcision, you think it's okay. I got news for you. It's a good thing I'm not here to make friends. It could even be called child abuse. If I were writing the laws, it would be labeled as child abuse, and it would be a crime. I could go into much more detail, but we'll save that, and people can contact me if they want to get into a discussion about it. But trust me, our Father doesn't make mistakes. And if you think destroying anything of His creation is somehow paying homage to Him, I'm sorry. You're badly mistaken. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters around this earth. We'd ask that You guide us every single day by Your Spirit. Help us to overcome the spirit of fear for those that have it. Help us to cease to be anxious about what tomorrow might bring, because, after all, this is Your world. You created it. You control it. And if we would just come out of our stupor, if we would just come out of this fog that we've been in for so long, created by our enemies, of course, but we've gone along with it. Help us to come out of it, Father. Help us to see clearly that You're the answer. You and Your law brings peace, prosperity, health, cleanliness, purity. Not man's law, not man's way, which is always evil. We ask for forgiveness. We ask to be renewed. And we ask to be given a spirit of courage. And we ask that the warriors that are out there amongst our people have a special blessing upon them. We would pray the soldiers' ransom upon them as well, Father. We're in a serious fight, and it's about time our people take it seriously. To that end, Father, be with us in all that we say and do. Help us to walk the walk that You would have chosen for us, that we might perfect our time and energy here with our brothers and sisters, also help to bring in Your kingdom. And as always, we ask that You protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.